My name is Benjamin, and I am Jewish, and this is the Star of David. The second child got up in front of the class and said, my name is Mary, and I'm Catholic, and this is the crucifix. And the third child got up in front of the class and said, my name is Tommy, and I'm Methodist, and this is a casserole. You guys really liked that. That was good. Yeah, 8:30 was it. Who are the Methodists when we talk about baptism? This is the time of year that we remember Jesus' baptism. The scripture said, you heard Margie read it, and when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened up and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. Jesus came up out of the waters. Can you imagine? And then God declared him as beloved. In the scriptures, God has declared us as beloved. We are beloved daughters and sons. Do you know that we are declared his beloved? The scripture says that we are a child of God, book of John. We are the branches of the true vine, God being the vine, book of John. In 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We're blameless before God, according to the book of Ephesians. Can you imagine blameless? Blameless. No matter what we do, we are his beloved. Scripture says we're seated in the heavenly places with Christ, book of Ephesians. God supplies all our needs, book of Philippians. God loves us and has chosen us, 1 Thessalonians. This is our true identity. Our identity? Yes. People say, I'm trying to find myself. I'm in a new place in my life. We are the daughters and sons of God. That's who we are. Now, what are we going to do with that? Well, what did Jesus do? After his baptism, for the rest of his life, he went to heal the sick. He raised the dead. He ate with sinners, even at their homes. And he was a teacher to all. We're called to follow that example of Jesus. He ministered to the people. We must take Jesus seriously. Our baptism says, I quote, Jesus calls us to live as his disciples. So our baptism, we are commissioned to be disciples and to transform the world. Let's not ever forget our baptism. The people who were present at your baptism and my baptism, they vowed to exemplify faith, hope, love, so that you and I would grow up to trust God and to do service in the world. At our baptism, our loved ones and the congregation and all that was there, they spoke these words. We will pray for you in your journey of discipleship among us. We will surround you with a community of love and forgiveness, that you may grow in your trust of God and be found faithful in your service to others. Oh my gosh, did you hear those words? Did you really hear those words? It doesn't make any difference when you're baptized as an adult or a child. We all start on that journey at baptism. It's our baptism journey. For the child, that journey begins in the community of the church, a nurturing church, where they learn what it means that God loves them. And then sometime around teenage years, they confess their faith through confirmation. Now, if you weren't baptized and you're feeling the Holy Spirit nudging you right now or have ever, let's talk and discern together. If you were baptized as an adult, oh my, what a special blessing that is, that you actually do remember and that you had that experience. I can't help but think, when I was doing this piece of the message, I'm thinking of somebody that was in, a member of this church. She's passed on. She's with the Lord. And she was raised for about 6 years in an orphanage. So when she got adopted, she's not sure if she was ever baptized. If she was, she didn't know it. There was no certificate. There was nothing to prove. But she went on a journey with her church, and somewhere in her 50s, maybe 60s, she went to the pastor and she said, "I don't know if I've been baptized." And usually the Methodists, it's a reaffirmation. Well, they didn't know if she was baptized. They said it's treated as baptism. And when she got baptized, she had a renewed strength and journey. It was her baptism journey. And she went on to be one of the most influential members, mentors in my life. And she went full force. And it was later in her time. So when we're baptized, we're baptized with water. And we're baptized with water that drenches with his amazing grace. Drenches you with his love. And then the pastor and the family and the friends, they put their hands on you. They lay their hands on you. And they say these words. Can you take it to the next? Because I'm cheating here. The Holy Spirit work with you. That being born of through the water and the Spirit. Being born through the water and the Spirit. Imagine, hands are on you. You may be faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. If you didn't remember it or don't remember it, that's how it went. In 1517, a gentleman named Martin Luther, handsome guy, he said, "God is touching my soul. Something's not right. The church has some things that just doesn't seem right." And there was one church in 1517. And so he started to make statements about it. And he nailed 95 statements or theses on the wall. And, of course, a lot of people couldn't read. But this was making the church crazy. And he almost got executed. They didn't want him to talk about this, which ended up to be the Protestant Reformation. So 500 years ago, here's this guy, and he's still doing God's work. And when times were so tough for him, he would put his finger on his forehead, and that would remind him of his baptism, that he is one of God's children and he has a relationship with God and that he has been set apart for greater things. He remembered his baptism. So when times are hard for us, perhaps hopelessness that settles in and it seems like forever settled in, or despair or fear for loved ones or for the future or sickness, you touch your forehead. We must remind ourselves we've been baptized and know that we've been initiated into God's family and set apart for greater things. I want you to do that now. Touch your forehead. You touch your forehead and know and embrace who you are. You are his beloved. We are his beloved. That is our true name, our deepest identity, our divine calling. I didn't make that up. I don't think I could have made that up. That was in our Sunday school class last year. We are God's beloved. That is our true name, our deepest identity, our divine calling. So whenever we don't know our purpose in life or trying to find our place in a new stage of our lives, we are here to help others as Jesus did. And sometimes, and I can be one, we'll reply, I just can't, or I'm busy, or it's just not a good time for me. We must not let that stop or block permanently that commission that we are to do on our baptism journey. This time, think about where you are right now, this time in our life, it's a chapter. Let's not make a chapter in our lives, the story of our life. It's a chapter. It's a chapter. It's a chapter. It's a chapter. Let's not make the chapter in our lives the story of our life. It's a chapter, and this will not define us or block us from what we are to do. Mother Teresa shared in one of her books of a time when there was an earthquake in 1972 in Guatemala. And there was a very poor man who was picked up from the streets. And he was brought to one of the homes. He was very sick. He was disabled. He was hungry. He was helpless. He was injured. And with God's grace and the love of those nuns at the home, he became well again. And he said to the sisters, I want to go and leave because this bed should be for someone else. I'm doing okay. Somebody else might need this bed. So he got a job. He didn't earn much. And he remembers the other disabled people in the home. And he would often bring something for them. Even with the little he had, he always brought something. I don't know of a better way to show the love of Jesus. He did good. He served Jesus in the hardest times of his life. I think he knew that time was a chapter. And it didn't let that horrible time define him. He helped others, and that was his story. It's human relationship, human relations day today. And we continue. It's a special Sunday where we continue to extend our hands to those in crisis so they can overcome their chapter. And we need to help them. You just turn on the news and you'll find who Jesus called the least of these. Those living in the margins of society, struggling to survive. Do we even know this? Do we know even, can we even imagine it? We think we can sometimes. For example, an immigrant teenager in Texas' poorest county, he's being recruited by a local gang. A father struggling for sobriety in Arkansas, or an Oklahoma woman recently released from prison looking for work. I think of Proverbs 31, and I like the translation of the Message because the Message is kind of slangy. Eugene Peterson translated it, but it's today's language. And he said for Proverbs 31, speak up for the people who have no voice, because the rights of all of the downers and outers, they need the justice. Speak out for that justice. Stand up for the poor and the destitute. I say, be a voice for the voiceless. So over and over, Jesus embraced them. And that's what we are to do. We are commissioned to go search out into the world and be his light. Amen. Amen. Amen.